Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to People of Interest on CKUW 95.9 FM. I'm Jordan Poitras. It is 8:20, August 13th. I'm joined in studio by Raymond. Raymond, I'm sorry, I didn't catch your last name.
Jimaspe Ngarbui.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us this morning. I don't want to do any injustice to your name, so thank you for coming in.
Okay, you're welcome.
Now, just a few things before we get started. You're featured in The Lucky Ones, The Lucky Ones, African Refugee Stories of Extraordinary Courage by Anne Mahone. She compiled many interviews featuring 17, 18 different refugee stories. Now, all the proceeds are going to two charities based in Winnipeg, Seed Winnipeg for micro-lending and the U of W Opportunity Fund for entrance bursaries for Africans. The book has been nominated for the On the Same Page Manitoba Book Award, sponsored by the Winnipeg Foundation and the City Library. You could vote for the book until September 10th at the City of Winnipeg Library website. And Lloyd Axworthy, he wrote the foreword, and he's been very supportive of the book, says Anne Mahone. Raymond, your story is actually the very last one in the book. And you're from Chad. Could you start us off telling us about the country where you first came from?
Chad.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Chad, which is a country in Central Africa. It's one of the large countries in Africa with 1,384,200 square kilometers, with the north part, which is desertic, and the middle, like savanna and semi-forest in the south part. And Chad also is one of the countries in Africa which has been facing civil wars for decades and decades. The first civil war starts in Chad in 1965. It means about 5 years after the country became independent from the former colony, France. And since then, there had been civil wars, and that's mostly due to the underground resources, because the country is very rich in oil, uranium, and gold, different mineral resources. And one of the situations that my country, Chad, has faced or had faced was the war against Libya, which was last for more than over half of a decade. And that was over the Band of Auzu, which is a part of the country very rich in uranium. Yeah. And the issue was finally solved at the international court, to the detriment of Libya. Yes.
Right. Now, where in Chad did you grow up? First off.
I was born in Kumra, which is a small place in Chad, in the south part of the country, in the region of Moyen Chari. And I am native of the south parts of the Chad, where the mining or oil sites are.
Okay. Unlike many people in that region of the world, you had the opportunity to go to school and university. And then later on, after school and university, you found yourself in a refugee camp in Cameroon. And then you went to school again. Now, I don't want to like just recap your entire story in the book. I want people to go out and
read
the book.
Thank you for making it short.
So then after you went you applied for a program. You went to school, and then you found yourself back in a refugee camp in Cameroon, as a refugee. And you kind of tell this story as if you're climbing up, you're climbing up the ladder in life. And to me, that it's really hard to believe, because you're ending up back in this place of that I would feel is a place of despair. So is that how you viewed it when it was happening, and then looking back on it?
Yeah, actually, I'm climbing a ladder. That's true, because I became an orphan in my very young age, and in being raised by my mother, that was already a first challenge, my life first challenge. And from there, with less resources, my mother was able to raise me, and I was able to go to school with the support from different organizations. So it was the first barrier that I was able to break, thanks to my mom. And after that, it was my responsibility to continue to grow the ladder. And what I did was that I kept my courage and my tenacity and my willingness of success to success in life. And that's how I was able to go to school, to study and stuff, because born within the civil war, I had to face many challenges. And being today in Canada, after transiting by Cameroon as a refugee, it means somehow I went from a lower place to a higher place or higher level somewhere, and I'm proud to be here today.
Now here in Winnipeg, you're in school again. Now, the skills that you're learning here, are they different? Are you relearning things? Or are you going in a different direction?
I have been topping whatever I already had. Maybe I am about filling up the half full glass that I came with. So in Winnipeg, I have been not only learning at school, but I have been absorbing a lot as far as life skills. And sorry,
okay.
Excuse me. As far as life skills and a way of living in general, and solidarity, charity, and humankind, all these great values, I have been learning them. I have been mastering them, which is great not only for myself here, but for the people that I left behind. And I was really interested in community development back home, because in Africa we are not collective in the modern or real sense, but collective in traditional sense, so community development was one of my great values. And coming to Winnipeg, where the opportunity was presented to me to becoming part of that community development, the real community development in great democracy like here in Canada, it was for me a big asset, a life asset. And the first experience that I have had was to represent Manitoba in St. John's, Newfoundland, with CZNet Winnipeg, CZNet Manitoba. So with Brandon Raymer's team, we were there in 2007. By that time, I only had a few English words in mouth, but I was part of the delegation and I went there, I attended. We had to land up in Halifax because of storm alert, and then we continued to St. John's in Newfoundland, where I met community developers from across the country and from around the world. And it was very interesting. And as soon as I got back, the great chance was that I was one of the successful candidates to the text for the community development / community economic development program, CDCED program at Red River College through CEDA, Community Education Development Association. And I was there, I took the program, and now I am continuing a community development site, and that's a great value for me today.
Mm-hmm. So now, back in Africa, you did study a lot about agriculture. Now you're bringing that to Winnipeg in the Rainbow Community Garden, as well as community development. Could you talk about the garden?
Oh, the garden. Oh, yeah, that's one of my favorite projects in Manitoba or in Winnipeg. Actually, I used to do small farming with my parents back home, and yeah, going to school back home to study agronomy, agriculture, and transiting in Cameroon, where I used to also to promote urban farming for refugee families who was living there with without or with very less resources, as a way of sustaining their life there, to help themselves there. So I, coming here, I found out that there is a great opportunity. There are assets available for the development of urban farming or farming in general. And community gardens, nobody can deny it, are today one of the great assets to be considered as far as food security is concerned. So I also got the opportunity to get in touch with Knox United Church in Central Park. And that's how we started the community development, the Rainbow Community Garden, as part of the community development program within Central Park area. And the idea behind was to help in addressing the food issue situation that newcomers and especially refugees were facing in Central Park area when they newly arrive.
So what are those issues? Is it what's available, or is it more of a cash issue?
All of this. Cash issue, first of all, because whatever they are receiving as income from living, income from social assistance or federal government when they just arrived here, is very limited. I know the resources have to be managed efficiently because of the scarcity and stuff. But the money that those people are receiving somehow cannot allow them to cover all the needs. When we know that they do spend more than 50 or above 50%. Of their geared income in housing. And as the Canadian Mortgage Corporation can say, when a household spends over 30% of their geared income on housing or shelter, it means that the basic needs are not going to be met by that family. And especially as newcomer families, there is a gap to be filled. And that's how they usually take a part of their money, especially the food money, to put into shelter.
Yeah, it's not it's not an unheard story in Winnipeg.
Yes.
And
also the other thing is that the adjustment to local food is another situation, challenge to be addressed. People who used to eat cassava leaves, who used to eat amaranth leaves, who used to eat mustard leaves, sweet potato leaves, okra, mulekia, and all the sorrel, African kale, and all these bitter gourds or vegetables, when they got here, they can't access those kinds of leaves or foods that they used to eat back home. And if they have to access them, they are very expensive. And most of the families who are newly arrived to Canada have average of maybe 5 or 6 members. So in order to cook enough for the whole family members, those families have to spend more than maybe $30, $20 for one meal, if they have to cook those kinds of exotic leaves. So that's why the idea about behind Rainbow Community Garden also was to help those newcomer families to grow leaves and vegetables from their back home, what they used to eat back home, in order to help them with their transition in Canada.
So, being from here and realizing how we have a very erratic and extreme seasons, how are those plants doing?
Yes, some of them do very well, and some don't. But in most of the cases, we have been very successful so far, and all depends on the growing season, the weather from a growing season to another. Like this year has been not a great year in terms of tropical leaves that we are having, but the most important thing is that Rainbow Community Garden is about. Actually, I have to mention that Rainbow Community Garden is one of the immigrant integration and farming co-op project. We are organized into a co-op, and so the one of the major ideas was to create a place, a setting where newcomer families can get together, can gather with their peer Canadian born families, and also to interact between themselves. So it's mostly about getting families to get together to interact and in a productive way, and also having their children hanging around during the summertime in Central Park or downtown area. Sometimes it's not a safe option. So by being out at University of Manitoba side there, the families get together, the parents are working well while their kids are playing around, interacting with other kids, and it's a way of keeping them out of some situations that none of us would like to see happen in downtown area Winnipeg. And also for those parents, especially those who are elderly people, it's difficult for them to remain within their house or at home during the hot summer. And it's stressful. So by getting out there, interacting with other people from the same country or from other different 23 other or 4 other nationalities, there it's it's a great thing to have. And
it's more than more than food.
Yeah, life skills, learning activities as well. Yes.
In your story, you talk about UNICEF. Now, for me, I'm not really sure whatever happens to the monies we collect on Halloween. I don't know if you know, kids go around with UNICEF boxes and they collect the monies, and I guess you you've experienced how that actually helps.
Oh yeah, let me catch this opportunity to tell you frankly that your money, your pennies or your loanies or tonies, went for the good causes, went to the right hands. Because myself, I can say that I'm one of the beneficiaries of whatever you had been or have been donating for UNICEF. Born in within civil war and growing up within those civil wars in Chad, where we had to run to the bush and come back to the city, run over as a displaced within our own country. I was not able to go to school as well as many of my peer kids at that time. And UNICEF was that organization which came in to establish learning opportunities, education opportunities. There was famines in Chad as well, so we could not, it's difficult for us to eat and going to school. So we had to go to the bush to collect fruits or to do some hunting and to do different activities to survive. And with UNICEF, there was porridge, there was a supplement, biscuit, and all this around. So that's how they attract us to go to school. And as a kid, as kids, we found that going to school was a great opportunity to find something to eat, to find candies, biscuits, and all that. And that's how we got used to the school. And from time to time, we go back to school. And yeah. And also, one thing that UNICEF has done for me or had done for me was to provide us with vaccinations. We got vaccines. Every year we had to be vaccinated against mass-killing diseases like diphtheria, tetanus, poliomyelitis, and yeah, lots of diseases that we were suffering from. And so that's how, when I found myself in Cameroon, I also found the opportunity to get involved with UNICEF to help refugee kids who used to live there. And coming to Canada, I said, yeah, this is the great opportunity also to get back to UNICEF. And by being involved with UNICEF, it's my way, as I always said, to give back to community or to other community members when what I used to receive from that great organization. Yeah.
All right. Well, we are running really short on time now. Thank you for coming down. Well, actually, I think I have one more question. Now, there are so many stories in the book. Have you had a chance to hear any of the other people speak about their stories in person? Or I have a friend, actually, in the book, Noma. She said that you all got together and did a reading.
Yes, Noma. Oh, this is one of the great person that I met through the book and before that too. Because most of us coming from the same situations, we have had chance to meet before, and yeah, somebody like Moxie, Chris, Noma, Azarias, all these people of course Marceline Dayonvire, who was my settlement counselor, and I learned a lot from her, and yeah. So I got the opportunity to meet these people before, and reading, like Noma said, yeah, it's a good occasion for us to meet together and to discuss lots of things. Yeah.
All right. Now, is there any information for any listeners who'd like to either help out at the garden or join it or anything like that?
Yeah, the garden. We really need help at the garden, and we have been supported by some great organizations such as Knox United Church in Central Park, Food Matters, Assiniboine Credit Union, Community for Families, Winnipeg Foundation, and all these organizations. We got volunteers from them, some resources from them, and we do need lots of help. So I can be contacted at 509-6259, or people can email iifcc.coop@gmail.com. And one thing I would like to mention before I leave here is that I did not know about where this book was going. And finally, I realized that my involvement there was a good thing, because not only Anne Mount is a very dedicated, very committed lady to the cause of newcomers and especially single mother refugees, but I realized later that all the proceeds are going toward Opportunity Fund at mm-hmm. University of Winnipeg, and also to asset building programs at SID Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And I was one of the asset building programs, IDA program at SID Winnipeg. And that money helped me to complete a part of my studies at Red River College. And that's why I decided to be one of the United Way speakers since 4 years now, speaking on behalf of SIDA and SID Winnipeg for that IDA program, because it's a great program to be supported, like saving circles and IDA program, and also for the Opportunity Fund at University of Winnipeg. Being a student from a University of Winnipeg student in urban and inner city studies, I got opportunity to receive bursaries from that program. That really helped me with my studies at University of Winnipeg. So I was very delighted to find myself within that book. Not only to give awareness to people about the refugee family situation or background, but also to be part of the fundraising for the good causes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Raymond, for coming on this morning. We are very quickly running out of time. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure to be here. Thank you again for having me.
All right. Mm-hmm. That was Raymond from The Lucky Ones, African Refugee Stories of Extraordinary Courage by Anne Mahone. Pick it up.